Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, September 17th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Midland College receives $501,744 grant. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Midland College received a $501,744 grant from the Texas Workforce Commission, TWC, to support adult education and literacy. The TWC grants are funded by the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Career, Technical, and Adult Education, and has awarded $8,030,502 to 40 grantees across the state. We have been in a partnership with Texas Workforce Commission for a very long time, said Deeksha Kadian, the Director of Adult Basic Education Technology Center at Midland College. Last year, we submitted the request for proposals for the new grant cycle and received approximately $500,000. Kadian said that the funds from the TWC's grant would primarily go toward programs such as English as Second Language, ESL classes, and GED classes. This helps students who just want to start fresh with a new chapter in their life, Kadian said. Midland College also applies funds from the grant to other intensive services, such as internationally trained professional classes, which are for people who have advanced degrees from their home countries and are looking to start working here. Somebody coming from Cuba might be a doctor in their country before they come here, and language could be a huge barrier, Kadian said. They just don't know where to start. So the internationally trained professional class is specialized to help them transition into the workplace here in the U.S. Kadian said that other classes that benefit from the grant include integrated educational training classes, which provide training services such as Microsoft certification, phlebotomy certification, or a pharmacy technician certification. We partner with different departments within the college to offer classes like Microsoft, CDL, pharmacy, and phlebotomy, Kadian added. Our students can take advantage of these classes and get an industry-recognized credential out of it. Kadian said that some students can start with pursuing their GED and then transition into the workplace because of the credentials and certificates they earn with these classes. One important aspect about the grant is that all the classes and services that we offer to students are free, Kadian said. Our students do not pay a penny for any of these services that we provide. The first step to enrolling in these classes is to register online. After applications are received, students are expected to meet staff in person to fill paperwork and take a placement test. The placement test is just checking their skills and where they are at, Kadian said. We can then design the classes to pertain to the needs of where our students are standing at during the time of placement. The TWC grant requires Midland College to hit certain targets within a program year, which can range from enrollment numbers to measuring student progress. The grant requires Midland College to serve around 370 students within one program a year, Kadian said. We are lucky and blessed that we always surpass that number. This fall, we have about 1,000 students taking classes. Kadian added that Midland College's program is one of the three programs throughout the state that hit all their targets. It's a great accomplishment for our program, Kadian said. The students that we receive in our program are very motivated and want a fresh start. We try to help anybody that we can with our program so that they feel welcomed. This article is entitled, City Council to Vote on Slight Property Tax Rate Increase, by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. The time is here for taxing entities to vote on new property tax rates for the next fiscal year. At the September 10th City Council meeting, staff recommended keeping the property tax rate as is at 0.350662 cents per $100 valuation. However, with recent news from the Midland County Central Appraisal District indicating higher than expected property valuations for the next fiscal year, council members opted to lower the tax rate a bit. On Tuesday, September 17th, council will meet for a special meeting to conduct a public hearing on the new rate, 0.348662 cents per $100 valuation, which is about $1,045.99 for a home valued at $300,000. The median price for a home in Midland is $367,495, according to July data from the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center. The average price is $432,728. According to the city's presentation, shared with the Reporter Telegram ahead of the meeting, for every dollar in property tax for the most recent 2024 fiscal year, 59% goes to Midland ISD, 23% is paid to the City of Midland, 8% is collected by Midland County, 5% goes to Midland College, and 5% is paid to the Midland County Hospital District. The city's tax rate is broken up into two categories. The first is maintenance and operations, M&O, which is used for general operating expenses. The other category is interest and sinking, I&S, which is used to repay debt. For the new proposed rate, about 29 cents is for M&O, and about 5 cents goes toward I&S, according to the presentation. Council members will also consider its budget for the 2024-25 year, which runs October 1st through September 30th. The general fund will see about $8.8 million more this fiscal year, totaling $176.3 million. For all other funds, the amount is about $277.9 million. The public hearing is scheduled for 10 a.m. at City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. A vote to adopt the rate is expected. This article is entitled, Idea Yukon Academy, One of U.S.'s Healthiest Schools, by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. The Alliance for a Healthier Generation recently named Idea Yukon Academy and College Preparatory as part of America's Healthiest Schools for 2024. America's Healthiest Schools is an annual recognition program that celebrates schools promoting health and well-being. This year, 879 schools across the nation were recognized for implementing practices that support the health of their staff, students, and families. At IDEA, our mission is to support students' academic success while addressing their physical and mental health needs, said Eva Rodriguez, Vice President of Student Health and Wellness for IDEA. We achieve this by offering health services, nutritious meals, opportunities for physical activity, and education on making healthy life choices. One of the programs that IDEA has implemented to promote health and wellness includes the Healthy Kids Here program. We are celebrating 10 years of the Healthy Kids Here program, said Amanda Kripple, director of Healthy Kids Here. We aim to gain IDEA as one of the healthiest school districts in America. According to Kripple, Healthy Kids Here is a multi-departmental initiative at IDEA Public Schools. Healthy Kids Here collaborates with the Child Nutrition Program, the Physical Education Department, and with health services. When we partner with our child nutrition program, we actually put out a free cookbook for our IDEA families, Cripple said. We gather recipes from our IDEA staff and families, then we test them out and get those out to our families during engagement events on campus. Cripple added that the child nutrition program provides free healthy breakfast and lunch to every student on campus. They also encourage students to participate in extracurricular activities. We partner with our physical education department to ensure that each campus has recess and that students are going out and being physically active, Cripple said. Our staff also tries to promote healthy habits, like drinking water throughout the day. IDEA Public Schools also promotes health and wellness by providing information to families about different topics, such as hand washing and flu season at family engagement events. For staff members, they often hold different events, such as a healthy food challenge. The Alliance for a Healthier Generation recognizes schools if they have excelled in one or more of the 9 key areas outlined in their Thriving Schools Integrated Assessment. IDEA UConn received 7 awards out of the 9 guidelines, Cripple said. The application is not easy. It's very intense. So the fact that they won 7 out of 9 is outstanding. The guidelines include strengthening social, emotional health and learning, cultivating staff well-being, increasing family and community engagement, improving nutrition and food access, implementing local school wellness policy, bolstering physical education and activity, enriching health education, promoting tobacco-free schools, supporting school health services. IDEA UConn received 7 awards out of the 9 guidelines, Cripple said. The application is not easy. It's very intense. So the fact that they won 7 out of 9 is outstanding. This article is entitled Midland ISD to Hold Public Hearing on Property Tax Rate for Next Fiscal Year, by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. At its meeting Tuesday, the Midland ISD Board of Trustees will hold a public hearing to determine the property tax rate for the next fiscal year. The proposed rate is 0.877000 cents per $100 valuation, the same as the current fiscal year, according to meeting documents. For a $300,000 home, the annual property tax bill from Midland ISD will be about $2,631. The median price for a home in Midland is $367,495, according to July data from the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center. The average price is $432,728. Property tax is broken down into 2 categories. Maintenance and operations, M&O, are used for general operating expenses. The proposed M&O rate is 0.666900 cents per $100 valuation. There's also interest and sinking, I&S, which goes toward debt service. The proposed I&S rate is 0.210100 per $100 valuation. The Texas Education Agency indicated in July that Midland ISD will continue to be subject to the recapture of, quote, excess local revenue, unquote, whereby a certain portion of locally paid property tax that the district collects must be paid to the state for redistribution to property-poor districts. Midland ISD is considered a property-rich district. Recapture, sometimes referred to as Robin Hood, only affects M&O collections. About a third of what's collected for M&O is turned over to the state. I&S collections, which are used to pay off debt, such as the 2023 school bond, are protected from recapture. Tuesday's meeting begins at 5:30 p.m. at the Bowie Fine Arts Auditorium, 806 Elk Avenue. This article is entitled National Night Out Returns on October 1st. Event promotes police community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie. Registration ends September 24th. By B. K. Richter, staff writer. National Night Out is once again coming to Midland. This year's celebration is slated for October 1st. However, the registration deadline for the event is September 24th. For those new to the concept, National Night Out promotes police community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie to make neighborhoods safer. The Midland Police Department encourages neighborhoods to host individual block parties to create a sense of community. Citizens are asked to lock their doors, turn on outside lights, and spend an evening outside with neighbors, said MPD in a press statement. Neighbors knowing neighbors is one of the most effective ways to prevent crime. While many communities celebrate National Night Out on the first Tuesday in August, Texas celebrates the first Tuesday in October. As far as planning a block party for your neighborhood, residents can plan an event as simple or elaborate as they desire. The idea behind National Night Out is to get to know who lives on your street and get neighbors talking to each other and looking out for one another, MPD wrote in a press statement. Apartment communities, entire subdivisions, condo communities, and civic clubs are all invited to participate. While most of the National Night Out block parties occur between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m., the time is completely up to the neighborhood. It is important to note that each registered NNO block party is visited by Midland police officers, community leaders, and other emergency personnel. The registration cost of hosting an NNO party has zero cost. To register for an NNO block party, fill out the form online and email it to Jessica Rodriguez at jrodriguez@midlandtexas.gov. Participants may also return the form to the MPD Community Relations Division at 600 North Lorraine in Midland, 79701. Here are some additional tips offered on how to organize a neighborhood block party. Find out if there is interest in your neighborhood. Going door to door, starting a group email, announcing on Nextdoor, or creating a private Facebook page are all great ways to determine if an NNO celebration is right for your neighborhood. Get neighbors who can help you plan the block party. Your neighborhood should start thinking about activities and food a couple of months, or on shorter notice, a couple of weeks ahead. Find out how they can help and what they can supply. Plan a few fun and creative activities to help neighbors get to know each other, like live music, sidewalk chalk, face painting, bounce houses, piñatas, relay races, or cook-offs. Or plan to break the ice by talking about neighborhood crime concerns and creating a neighborhood block contact list. Bring food. Invite your neighbors to bring a favorite dish, drinks, desserts, etc. A block party can serve simple refreshments such as chips, drinks, hot dogs, or fruit. Invite guests to the block party by going door to door, utilizing social media, posting flyers, or making phone calls. Provide guests with an invitation with all the details of the celebration. This article is entitled Todd Road to See Traffic Disruptions by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. The City of Midland will close Todd Road from south of Marie Drive to Business 20 starting Wednesday to perform utility work. According to the city, a sewer line is being constructed. The work is expected to take about 1 year to complete. Local access will be maintained as much as possible during the process. Other projects listed on the city's engineering website include paving on A Street, paving and utilities work on Illinois Avenue, and continued work on Garfield Street, where a roundabout is being constructed at the intersection with Cuthbert Avenue. This article is entitled, "When Does Early Voting Start in Texas?" by Sophia Barnett, the Dallas Morning News. In 1987, Texas became the first state to allow early voting, increasing the opportunity to cast an in-person ballot before Election Day. Voting by mail also is available to certain Texans. What are the rules? In Texas, all registered voters can cast a ballot during the early voting period. Early voting by mail is available only to those who are 65 or older, have a disability or illness that prevents in-person voting, are due to give birth within 3 weeks before or after Election Day, or will be away from their home county during the election period. Those who retain voting rights while confined to jail or involuntarily hospitalized can also vote by mail. When is early voting? Early voting for this year's November 5th general election runs from October 21st to November 1st. Check your county's elections department for early voting locations and hours. What are the deadlines? Voters must be registered by October 7th to participate in the November 5th election. Those who want to vote by mail must submit a mail ballot application to their county's early voting clerk by October 25th. How do I vote by mail? Request a vote by mail application from your county clerk or find an application online at the Texas Secretary of State website. A separate application is required for each election, but those with a disability and voters who are 65 and older can choose to be mailed a ballot for every future election. To cast a vote, you must provide a Texas driver's license number, Texas personal identification number, or election identification certificate number issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety. If you do not have the above identification, you can provide the last four digits of your Social Security number. This article is entitled, "Andrews Police Investigate Social Media Threat to Schools," by B.K. Richter, staff writer. The Andrews Police Department was notified of a threat involving several schools within the area. According to Andrews Chief of Police Ronnie McCarver, the social media threat on Sunday involved three schools, Andrews High School, Andrews Middle School, and Clear Fork Elementary. Upon receiving this information, I immediately contacted Texas's DPS's threat assessment team, McCarver wrote in a social media post. After careful evaluation, the threat was determined to pose a negligible or highly unlikely probability of being carried out. McCarver added, although the social media threat was deemed highly unlikely, that does not infer that the threat was not taken seriously. We launched an investigation, worked with school officials, and took every precaution to ensure student safety, McCarver wrote in a Facebook post made on Monday afternoon. Due to the threat, McCarver said that police presence at the schools Monday was there to reassure students, parents, and staff of their safety. I understand that the word negligible may have caused some confusion, and for that I apologize. Please know that we are committed to transparency and protecting our community, McCarver wrote. On September 9th, another social media threat for the 432 area code began circulating online. While no specific threat was made to any specific Midland ISD campus or district facility, MISD responded to the threat, which referenced another social media post that had mentioned a threat to schools. All threats or rumored threats are taken seriously and investigated. Midland ISD police and outside agencies are continuing to investigate to find the source of the post. And district police will be extra visible on campuses today as a precaution, MISD wrote in their communication to parents last week. This is the Life Tributes column. Betty Sue Raines, September 18, 1947 to September 14, 2024. Betty Sue Raines, age 76, went home to glory on September 14, 2024. She was born to Bud and Opal Blair on September 18, 1947, in Coleman, Texas. 15 short years later, she met the love of her life in Ron Raines. Together, they built a beautiful life these last 61 years. She is survived by her loving husband and their daughter, Starla Maxwell, daughters Elisa Felix of Midland, Sheila Rice and husband Sean of Granbury, grandchildren Billy Ray Trey McFarland III, wife Samantha, and sons Gavin Maddox and Aiden of Tyler, Ashton West, husband Robert, sons Coulter and Jackson, and daughter Grace of Keller, Austin Vogel and son Hayden of Midland. She is also survived by her brother Lee Blair of Irving. She was preceded in death by her parents and sister Bobby Ruth Baker, as well as one granddaughter. Funeral services for Betty will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, September 19th at the Nally Pickle Welch Funeral Home Chapel. The family will receive visitors at the funeral home from 5 to 7 p.m. on her 77th birthday, Wednesday, September 18th. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Terry Glenn Rowe, August 15, 1959 to September 9, 2024. Terry Glenn Rowe, a cherished family man, passed away on September 9, 2024, in Twin Falls, Idaho. Born on August 15, 1959, in Midland, Terry exemplified the values of faith in God and family first. Terry is also preceded in death by his parents, James Buck and Clara Rowe. He is survived by his brother Jimmy Rowe and family, his sister Debbie Evans and family, and his daughter and son-in-law, Jim and Christina Line, grandchildren Adria, Connor, Faith, and Evelyn. A small private graveside service was held September 13th. Gayla Sue King, January 1st, 1940 to September 14th, 2024. Gayla Sue King was called home on September 14th. She was born on January 1, 1940 in Seminole, Oklahoma, to Roly and Bessie Jondro. She married Jack King on June 19, 1959 in Seminole, Oklahoma. Gayla is survived by her husband Jack of 65 years, her son J.J. and wife Stacy, and daughter Paula Bettis and husband John, all of Midland, as well as four grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. Gayla was preceded in death by her parents, a sister, Captola Malk, and numerous cousins. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Midland Christian School. Visitation will be held Tuesday, September 17th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A graveside service will be held Thursday, September 19th at 10 a.m. at Little Cemetery in Little, Oklahoma. A memorial celebration of life service will be held on Tuesday, September 24th at 1 p.m. at Golf Course Road Church of Christ in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Bobby Jeanette Thorne, December 15, 1926, to September 13, 2024. Bobby Jeanette Thorne passed away on September 13th. Bobby was born on December 15, 1926, in a small farming community known as Hudson, near May, Texas. She grew up in Brown County and graduated from May High School. Bobby married James Thorne in 1946, and they resided in Brownwood before moving to Midland in the early 1950s. They had one daughter, Janet. She is preceded in death by her husband, her mother and father, Floyd and Ella Mae Ribble, and her beloved sister and brother-in-law, Tacoma and W.J. Bowler. She is survived by her brother, Brooks Ribble, and his wife, Laura, of May, Texas, daughter, Janet Allison, grandson, Chris Jowes, and his wife, Tina, and their children, Cooper and Avery, grandson, Sean Jowes, and his daughter, Cameron, all of Midland. Visitation will take place from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, September 20th at Nally Pickle and Well Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held Saturday, September 21st at 2 p.m. at the branch at NPW. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to the Midland Humane Society or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Fabian Kane Navarro. Fabian Kane Navarro, 17, of Odessa, passed from this life on September 11th in Odessa. A viewing will be held on Tuesday, September 17th from 2 to 10 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Graveside funeral service will be held on Wednesday, September 18th at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Cemetery. Mary Alice Gutierrez. Mary Alice Gutierrez, 94, passed away on Thursday, September 12th. Viewing will be Tuesday, September 17th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Wednesday, September 18th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Funeral Mass will be Thursday, September 19th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.heavenlygatefh.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 17th. ECISD teacher elected to State Board for Gifted and Talented Education. Ector County ISD has announced the recent election of Jonna Rawson, Gifted and Talented Educator, to the 2025 Board of Directors as a K-12 representative. Rawson is in her 40th year with ECISD, and she has taught at both secondary and elementary levels. Currently, she serves Blanton, Gonzales, and LBJ elementary schools. Rawson was elected to the board and this position by the Texas Association for the Gifted and Talented TAG-T membership following a selection process by the association's Leadership Development Committee. She will be installed into office during Gifted ED24, the association's annual conference this fall. Being selected to serve on the TAG-T board has been a lifelong career goal because I am passionate about serving the needs of GT students, Rawson said in a news release. This organization consistently strives to improve GT instruction across the state and is the nation's largest state advocacy group of its kind. TAG-T provides a forum for exchanging ideas and information about the unique social, emotional, and intellectual needs of gifted and talented students. Serving on the board will enable me to help provide educational services to meet these needs. Rawson has been involved in TAGT committee and thought leadership for many years, and her perspective, insights, and dedication to GT education in Texas are tremendous assets to TAGT. The TAGT Board of Directors serves as the governing body of the association and, as such, sets strategic policy, provides general oversight, and actively pursues association goals. Board members are the link between the organization and the TAGT membership. They are responsible for strategic thinking, planning, and evaluating on behalf of the organization. Midland College to host West Texas Food Bank College Roadshow with free resources. Midland College is pleased to announce that it will be hosting the West Texas Food Bank's College Roadshow at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. September 17th. This free event is open to the public and aims to support students and community members with a variety of resources and services. The West Texas Food Bank will be distributing free produce, supplies, and applications for the pantry. Attendees will also have the opportunity to learn about signing up for SNAP benefits. Additionally, a free lunch will be provided while supplies last. This event will help students and members of our community connect with local agencies like the West Texas Food Bank, while also providing information about support services that address a wide variety of needs, such as housing, food insecurity, medical and mental health services, financial services, and more. We at Midland College understand that students face a range of challenges, and this event is designed to help provide community resources that support their success both in and out of the classroom. Joseph Granado, Vice President of Student Services at Midland College, said in a news release. In addition to the West Texas Food Bank, several local organizations and resources will be available, including MC Financial Aid, MC Recruiting, Sul Ross State University, Permia Care, Family Promise, Sam's Club, Battery Joe, Safe Place, MRCCAC, Buckner Hope Center, and Casa de Amigos. ECISD Board to set tax rate. Ector County ISD trustees will consider approval of an ordinance to set the 2024 tax rate during their 6 p.m. meeting September 18th in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The total tax rate will stay the same at $1.014 per $100 valuation, but it still means a tax increase for the average homeowner. The maintenance and operation rate will be 0.7596 per $100 valuation, and the interest in sinking or debt service will be 0.2544 per $100 valuation. The Ector County Independent School District budget for the 2024-25 school year is $349,223,000, which is a $12 million deficit. Without cuts, the deficit would be $24 million. This is largely due to state funding remaining flat. There also will be a presentation on 2023-24 employee exit data, which is results from a survey showing why people stayed or left ECISD during those years. The teacher turnover data goes back to 2017-2018. Some other items on the agenda include approval of bond purchases over $50,000, policy updates, approval of ECISD campus improvements plans, memorandums of understanding with Head Start, request for approval of an agreement with the Texas Virtual School Network, out-of-state travel for the Permian High School Band to travel to Costa Rica, Odessa High School Showgirls to Orlando, Florida, educational specifications update, also a memorandum of understanding with Texas Tech University for Principal Fellows Master's Program 2024-25, renewal of a memorandum of understanding with University of Texas Permian Basin for Principal Fellow Master's Program 2024-25. Discussion of Acceleration Academies Partnership Agreement Amendment and Presentation and Discussion of College, Career, and Military Readiness Results. This is a factor in accountability ratings. Special presentations are also on the agenda, announcement of AP Scholars, AP Scholars with Honors, and AP Scholars with Distinction, recognition of Visual Arts Scholastic Event, VASE State Qualifiers, presentation of 2023-24 Education Foundation Grants Award, and recognition of ECISD employees on TEA Educator Item Review Committees. A pipeline explosion is shooting a towering pillar of flame over a Houston suburb, LaPorte, Texas. A massive pipeline fire sent a pillar of flame towering over some Houston suburbs on Monday as first responders evacuated a surrounding neighborhood and tried to keep more nearby homes from catching on fire. The blaze involving a 20-inch pipeline carrying natural gas liquids must burn itself out, according to its operator, Dallas-based Energy Transfer. The company said the flow was shut off, but local officials said it could take hours, if not into Tuesday, for the residual material to burn off. Local authorities would not speculate at an afternoon news conference about what caused the fire and what role a burned car near the source of the flame may have had. Energy Transfer said in its statement that it was aware of early reports that a car had struck some valve equipment, but did not offer more details, including the origin of those reports. Firefighters were dispatched at 9:55 a.m. after an explosion that rattled adjacent homes and businesses in Deer Park and LaPorte, about 25 miles southeast of downtown Houston, along the energy capital of the U.S. The plume of smoke could be seen from at least 10 miles away. The only injury reported so far was to a firefighter who had sustained a minor injury, officials said. Giselle Molina Guerra said she and her boyfriend heard an explosion at around 9:30 a.m. as they were having breakfast in their mobile home. All of a sudden, we hear this loud bang, and then I see something bright, like orange, coming from our back door. That's outside, said Guerra, 25, who lives within the evacuation area. Her boyfriend woke up his brother and they ran into their car. I was just freaking out, pacing around the living room, not really knowing what to do or what was happening, Guerra said. I thought maybe it was an airplane that had crashed down by our house. LaPorte City officials spokesperson Lee Woodward told KTRK-TV that people in nearby schools were told to shelter in place as law enforcement blocked off a wide area. Energy Transfer said in a statement that air monitoring equipment was being set up in the area. At nearby San Jacinto College, which closed its campus after the explosion, people who gathered included Evan Wyman, who had gotten word after calling police that her dog Baxter and had been rescued from her home, which is in the evacuated neighborhood. I just know that my dog is rescued, Wyman said. Houston is the nation's petrochemical heartland and is home to a cluster of refineries, plants, and thousands of miles of pipelines. Explosions and fires are a familiar sight to residents in Texas's largest city, including some that have been deadly. The blasts have raised recurring questions about the adequacy of the industry's plans to protect the public and the impacts of environmental damage. Video images from KTRK showed a park near the fire had been damaged and firefighters pouring water on adjacent homes. By noon, at least a couple of homes appeared to have caught fire, with smoke pouring from their roofs. There are also several businesses nearby, including a Walmart. Sanchez said they are used to evacuations because they live close to other plants near the highway, but he hadn't seen an explosion before in his 10 years living there. "We just drove as far as we could because we didn't know what was happening," Sanchez said from a parked car at a gas station near his college. Officials have ordered residents in the Brook Glen neighborhood area near the fire to evacuate. Woodward said in an email, "Please avoid the area and follow law enforcement direction. Further details will be released as available," Woodward said. The fire burned through high-voltage power lines, and the website poweroutage.us said several thousand customers were without power in Harris County. Man accused of trying to kill Trump wrote a book urging Iran to assassinate the ex-president. Ryan Routh portrayed himself online as a man who built housing for homeless people in Hawaii, tried to recruit fighters for Ukraine to defend itself against Russia, and described his support and then disdain for Donald Trump, even urging Iran to kill him. "You are free to assassinate Trump," Routh wrote to Iran in an apparently self-published book in 2023, Ukraine's Unwinnable War, which described the former president as a fool and buffoon for both the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots and the tremendous blunder of leaving the Iran nuclear deal. Routh wrote that he once voted for Trump and must take part of the blame for the child that we elected for our next president and that ended up being brainless. Routh, 58, was arrested Sunday after authorities said he stalked the GOP presidential nominee as he golfed in West Palm Beach, Florida, with an AK-47-style rifle in an apparent attempt thwarted by the Secret Service. Three officials who identified Routh to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity, because they were not authorized to discuss the ongoing investigation and search for a motive. Though his voluminous online footprint, public records, news interviews, and videos, a picture emerged of Routh as a man with a criminal past, plenty of outrage, and shifting politics. His over 500 posts on X showed his views ranging from the left to the right, including support for politicians such as Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard, and Nikki Haley, as well as Trump. Voter records show he's registered as an unaffiliated voter in North Carolina in 2012, most recently voting in person during the state's Democratic primary in March. Routh also made 19 small donations totaling $140 since 2019 to Act Blue, a political action committee that supports Democratic candidates, according to federal campaign finance records. In a tweet in June 2020, after the police killing of George Floyd, Routh said then-President Trump could win re-election by issuing an executive order to prosecute police misconduct. However, in recent years, his posts appear to have soured on Trump, and he expressed support for President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, the current Democratic presidential nominee. "Democracy is on the ballot and we cannot lose," he wrote on X in April in support of Biden. In July, following the assassination attempt on Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania, a post on Routh's account urged Biden and Harris to visit those wounded in the shooting and attend the funeral of the firefighter who was killed. "Trump will never do anything for them," Routh wrote. "Show the world what compassion and humanity is all about." In his book listed on Amazon and viewed by the AP, Routh noted, "I get so tired of people asking me if I am a Democrat or Republican as I refuse to be put in a category. The world would be better if it were run by women," he wrote in the book. that has links to his website and X account because it seems that the totality of the world's problems revolve around men with massive insecurities and childlike intelligence and behavior. He posted frequently on social media about Ukraine and other conflicts, and he had a website seeking to raise money and recruit volunteers to fight for Kyiv. A photo of the wiry, wild-haired Ralph on his site shows him smiling, wearing a t-shirt and jacket adorned with U.S. flags. "Fight and die to stop aggression," he posted on X in February 2023 about Ukraine. "Everyone should be outraged and helping. This is about good versus evil," Ralph said in a video circulating online, and in a tweet he said, "I am going to fight and die for Ukraine." Video shots by the AP showed Ralph at a small demonstration in Kyiv's Independence Square in April 2022, 2 months after Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an invasion of the country. A placard he was holding said, "We cannot tolerate corruption and evil for another 50-plus years. End Russia for our kids." He wore a blue vest with the U.S. flag on the back. The same day, he also visited a makeshift memorial to foreigners killed by Putin. "But Ralph never served in the Ukrainian army or worked with its military," said Oleksandr Shahuri of the Foreigners Coordination Department of the Ukrainian Ground Forces Command. Shahuri told AP that Ralph periodically contacted the International Legion of Ukraine with what he described as nonsensical ideas that can be best described as delusional. Ralph appeared in a video standing in front of the U.S. Capitol and expressing frustration that Ukraine wasn't taking more of the Afghan commandos he tried to recruit. "They're afraid that anybody and everybody is a Russian spy," he told news website Semaphore in 2023. Earlier this year, he even tweeted at singers Bruno Mars and Dave Matthews to organize a We Are the World-style effort for Kyiv. "We need an emotional tribute song for Ukraine. As support stalls," he wrote, "I have lyrics and music." Ralph also tweeted to former basketball star Dennis Rodman, asking for help lifting sanctions against North Korea to ease tension with the country. In another, he invites a dozen protesters in Hong Kong to stay at his Hawaii home to escape a Chinese crackdown. Ralph lived most of his life in Greensboro, North Carolina, where his run-ins with law enforcement included a 2002 felony conviction for possessing a weapon of mass destruction. While court records don't give details about the case, a newspaper story at the time said the arrest followed a three-hour armed standoff with police at a roofing business. State records listed him as the owner. Records also show Ralph was convicted of a felony count of possession of stolen goods in 2010, as well as misdemeanors including illegally carrying a concealed weapon, a hit-and-run incident, speeding, and driving with a revoked license. In each case, a judge sentenced Ralph to either probation or a suspended sentence, allowing him to escape prison time. It was not immediately clear how Ralph was able to obtain a weapon. In most states, it is generally forbidden for a person convicted of a felony to purchase or possess a firearm. In 2008, Ralph moved to the small town of Kaua, Hawaii, about 45 minutes from Honolulu, to go in business with his adult son building small wooden sheds. According to his LinkedIn page, the structures would help address the highest homelessness rate in the United States due to unparalleled gentrification. "All of us are tired of seeing the homeless people all over the island with nowhere to go," he told Honolulu Star Advertiser in 2019. "No one answered the door Sunday at his blue stucco house near the beach that is colorfully painted with wooden cutouts of fish. A white pickup truck with a Biden-Harris bumper sticker and a flat tire was in the driveway." Neighbor Christopher Tam said Ralph kept to himself and was respectful, cordial, and kind. It just has been very surprising, Tam said. If he did have anything to do with it, it's very shocking to us. Buckingham announces VLB Voices of Veterans Program's partnership with Texas Oral History Locator Database at Baylor University. Texas Land Commissioner and Veterans Land Board VLB Chairwoman Dr. Dawn Buckingham Monday announced that the VLB Voices of Veteran Oral History Program is part of the Texas Oral History Locator Database, TOLD, at Baylor University. TOLD was created in 2022 by the Texas Oral History Association and Baylor University Institute of Oral History. This remarkable online database aims to identify and preserve as many oral history collections as possible. Researchers and history enthusiasts can easily search the database and connect with the managers and websites of unique oral history archives. Preserving the stories of our courageous veterans is a responsibility I take seriously as VLB chairwoman, and it is an immense honor for our Voices, a veteran oral history program, to be included in the Texas Oral History Locator Database. Through this partnership, Voices of Veterans will reach more historians, researchers, and Texas history buffs than ever before. By expanding the reach of Voices of Veterans, we will help ensure that the memories of our veterans and the lessons their stories teach us are accessible to future generations. I want to thank VLB staff for their diligent work in submitting Voices of Veterans to TOLD, and the Texas Oral History Association and Baylor University Institute of Oral History for their support. TOLD archives are from around the state and are supplied by many sources, including universities, public libraries, historical societies and commissions, and museums. The database has around 40,000 total interviews and nearly 700 projects or distinct groups of interviews within the more extensive collections. Adding the VLB Voices of Veterans program's hundreds of veterans interviews to the growing TOLD archive will help shape the tapestry of Texas's rich history and glorify the memories of our veterans in the hearts and minds of Texans forever.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.